All right, I want to talk speak about the boundaries of the nations. I'm going to be using the Complete Jewish Bible as my text here. But first, let me begin this with there in ancient Lemuria or Atlantis, if you will, according to some of the New Age texts, And there were 10 kingdoms. The earth was all one, as in the days of Noah, which means it was one continental landmass. And after the breakup of the waters in the deep and over the ocean, there are now 7 landmasses. And this place, Atlantis, according to Plato and others, was divided into 10 kingdoms. There were 10 kings. But this is also true in the book of Enoch. It says in the book of Enoch that there were 10 kings, and they came and submitted themselves and made Enoch king over them. So this is an interesting idea. We're not sure if these were just righteous kings. I mean, if Enoch was a was the teacher of righteousness referred to in the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Melchizedek, the king of righteousness that appeared before, that Abraham came and brought salt and bread offerings to, who didn't have any patronage or lineage. We don't know who this was. We don't know if this is the Enoch whose ways pleased God and God took him. He took him, it says. He was caught up with God like Elijah. This was right. His grandson was Noah, and the earth was evil and wicked. And Jesus says, as in the days of Noah. So the Club of Rome, which is in Italy, is part of the New World think tanks related to the United Nations, also has drawn 10 kingdoms over the earth. The Eurasian, the Middle East and Oceania, the North American, which, you know, all these globalists in New World Order, UN people like Bush and et cetera, the Eurasian, the Euro, these are all the drawings of 10 kingdoms, maybe the 10 toes of the beast, okay, they're dividing kingdoms, that's the thing, and if this is the last, you know, huge idolatrous political system with the two legs of the Roman Empire and the feet are mixed with iron and clay and they don't mix together. We see that there's division, there's breaking up, it's not cohesive. So all these ideas are principalities and powers and spiritual governments that are operating, but generally they're in opposition to the Lord God Almighty and to his kingdom and his order and his priorities. But this is soon to be redefined. It says in Deuteronomy 32:43, sing out, you nations, about his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants. He will render vengeance to his adversaries and make atonement for the land of his people. That, the Day of Atonement, the high priest went in and made atonement for the land, for Israel, for the nation of Israel. And all of Israel shall be saved. Who is all of Israel? It's that remnant, right, that follows the word of God, his justice, not the vanities, that fall into his assignment, his places that he's ordained, law and order, boundaries. And they do it, they will be taught of the Lord because God himself is operating in their hearts. Now, let me suggest to you that because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, this process of boundaries and redesignation is in play in part at this time. Let's look at the book of Ezekiel, where it talks about the temple. Daniel. Oh. These kingdoms. Oh, Ezekiel, it's right before 641. Okay. In Ezekiel, it talks about this great, the war, you know, the destruction of Babylon, all these things that are going to happen. And then about Ezekiel describes to the house of Israel. So who's the king of Israel? Who made atonement for the nation? The one man that died for this nation so the whole nation shouldn't perish, according to the prophecy of Caiaphas, who offered up Jesus, the innocent lamb slain from the foundation, who is the redeemer of Israel. Not just salvation, it says in Psalm 24, who shall ascend in the mount of the Lord? Those who do not pursue vanities, idolatrous of any kind, or the nation, and receive salvation. God will save him. Jesus came as Savior, the redeeming Lamb, Savior from death, out of Egypt, out of that paganism, the vanity, Leviathan, serpent worshiping religion, into the house of Israel. All of Israel shall be saved, says in Romans. Paul said in Romans. But there's a remnant that's coming out, and the king of the Jews will be over them. Oh, Ezekiel talks about the temple, the Ezekiel temple, which I have to agree that in verse 48, the list of tribes are described and their territories. Their boundaries will be defined in Ezekiel 48. So-and-so has the territory of Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Ephraim, Reuben, Yehudas. And these will be set aside offerings, and what the sanctuary is, how what the width in the stadiums are. Now, some people say it's over the entire Middle East. Well, I'm not sure about that. Maybe, could be. The portion set aside is the holy hill, will be for the Kohanim. The holy hill is where it's Moriah, is where Yeshua was sacrificed. He made atonement for it there. Portion set aside as the holy hill will be for the Kohanim, who are descendants of Zadok, the high priest that remained faithful to my commission and did not go astray when the people of Israel and when the Levim went astray. It is to be an especially holy portion set apart from them and taken from the offering of the land next to the border of the Levim, the Levites. And then he gives a portion for the Levites and etc., etc. So God has this all the territories, all the boundaries. He set it out. He even set it out for the final temple, the holy place, Mount Zion, the order of protocol, the mountain of the Lord. God bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and show you the way in the days of Noah. How to be faithful and not fall into the apostasy. Be the faithful remnant for your eternal inheritance in Yeshua our Savior, the atonement for the nation of Israel.